From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns has been dealing with the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit as he nears the end of this series on the person and work of the Spirit. As we've seen, this sin, called the unpardonable sin, can lie in ascribing the works of the Spirit to the devil, rejecting what the Spirit teaches about Christ, or refusing God's offer of salvation, or perhaps all of these. A particularly troublesome passage for many Christians and non-believers is Hebrews chapter 6, which speaks of those who fall away from grace. Dr. Cairns is endeavoring to bring much-needed clarity to this passage. It has reference to people who, having known about Christ and the gospel, deliberately and finally turn away from Him, and whom God gives up. Those who have trusted Christ, or who truly want to be saved, can be assured that they have not committed this sin. Yet there is a warning against trifling with the witness of the Holy Spirit. Before concluding the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, why is Christ called the Everlasting Father? The video version of this comment may be found on our website, ltbsradio.com, under Q&A with Alan Cairns.
Why is Christ, or the Son of God, referred to as the Everlasting Father in Isaiah 9, verse 6? Well, get it in context. This is a word from Jehovah, and He is saying, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, why is He called the Everlasting Father? Is He both the Son and the Father? Well, the answer here is really quite simple. First of all, Isaiah 9 verse 6 is not describing in any way the relation of the persons of the Trinity to each other. In the Trinity, the Son is not the Father. So why is He called the Father of Eternity, or the Everlasting Father? This is what is called a Hebraism. In other words, it is Hebrew idiom. And you've got to understand, when you're talking about idiom, you take the phrase together for the meaning as if it were the meaning of a single word. And this simply means the Eternal One. It's saying, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And His name is the Eternal One. In other words, this is another emphasis upon the fact that He is truly the Eternal God. The Father of Eternity means, as a Hebraism, that He is eternal. Means no more than that. It's not a Trinitarian description of Him in relation to the Father or the Spirit. It is simply saying He has the attribute of absolute eternity. And since He has that, and the New Testament tells us that God only has immortality or eternity, God only, and no one else, is eternal, then this child born, this son given, is truly the Eternal God. That's what it means.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly LTBS magazine. The principal focus of the January issue will be the Gospel of Luke. The articles include Luke, the Man and His Message, A Primer on Prayer, The Parables, and Following Christ, the Meaning of Discipleship. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. John Douglas. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, can you be sure you're saved? How do you explain unanswered prayer? And what is marriage? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
There's one final text that I should mention, and I'm only going to mention it in passing. 1 John 5:16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Most people take this to be the same unpardonable sin, and they take death to be damnation. I have to say that I personally disagree. I believe the death here is physical death. I believe the people who are referred to in this text, unlike all the other texts, here they are true Christians. Here you have disobedient Christians, as you did in 1 Corinthians 11 and 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. It's the sleep of death. The death is physical. There is a sin unto death. There is a sin in the life of a Christian whereby he brings such offense to God and to his truth and his cause in the world that the Lord just takes him home before his time. And though they die of chastening, yet, in the words of Christ, they are forgiven in the world to come, for they're covered by the blood of the Lamb. Now then, let's wrap it all up. What's the teaching then? Well, you learn something about the Holy Spirit. You learn something about his personality, Matthew 12. He's as much a person as the Father and the Son. You learn something about his deity. He is as truly God as the Father and the Son. It would be foolish to say you can sin against God and against the Son of God and be forgiven. But the Holy Spirit is much inferior, and yet if you sin against him, you can't be forgiven. That would be nonsense. So you learn that about the Holy Spirit. You learn something about apostasy. The word apostate is used very easily by many Christians. But in the biblical sense, apostasy is a sin for which there is no forgiveness. You learn something else here. I hope it'll be a comfort to some. That there is no ground in any of these texts for the kind of worry and fear and torment that so many people endure. There are some people who denied Christ, blasphemed Christ, lived in open sin, and then they come under conviction and they would love to be saved. And the devil tells them, but maybe you blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You couldn't be saved. I've talked to people like this. I remember dealing with one young person in particular. This was her awful worry. She'd been deep in sin, into witchcraft, into drugs, into the hippie lifestyle. Now she longed for salvation, and yet she was afraid. Maybe I've committed that unpardonable sin. I remember dealing with another young woman who had been deeply, deeply enmeshed in the things of the devil. And when she was struggling out into the light of the gospel, this was the satanic whisper. But is there not a verse that says you can't be forgiven? No, there's not. I read a very simple illustration just this week. A preacher said he was dealing with a young man who wanted to be saved, desired Christ, yet he was tormented with this thought, I've lived a very wicked life, maybe there's no forgiveness for me. And the preacher just opened up at Matthew 12, and he said to the young man, having read that, he says, by whom do you desire to be saved? He said, I desire to be saved by Jesus Christ. Do you desire to be saved by one who has a devil and who works by the power of Satan? The young man said, no, I want to be saved by Christ. And immediately the light dawned. Because in Matthew 12, the people who can't be saved are people who won't recognize Christ. They attribute his power to the devil. If there is in any man a desire to be saved by Christ, you have the unalterable proof that by the grace of God, he has never committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Then there are people who are saved, and they have fallen into sin, and the devil brings them to Hebrews 6. The number of Christians I have dealt with over the years that fall into this category, I could hardly calculate. I'm a Christian. I remember coming to Christ and the Lord brought me into life and liberty through the gospel. But I have failed the Lord. And here's a passage that says there's no restoration. Surely now I'm lost. No, my friend. The sin in Hebrews 6 is not a sin that born-again Christians can ever commit. The sin in Hebrews 6 is the sin of blaspheming the blood of Christ, repudiating the cross of Christ, and saying, I will be saved without Christ. That's the sin of Hebrews 6. This cannot be committed by saints. But there's another thing you learn. I want you to think of it very carefully. If you're not saved in this meeting, in the quietness of these closing minutes, I want you to let this sink in. That it's a very dreadful and dangerous thing to trifle with the witness of the Holy Ghost and to sin against light. Now let it sink in. It's a dangerous thing to sin against the light of that Bible. It's a very dangerous thing to trifle with the strivings of the Spirit of God. I've quoted Genesis 6 and 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Every preacher looking through his ministry sees faces rise before his mind of people he has dealt with, people he has preached to, people who were almost persuaded and who trifled with the witness of the Holy Ghost, and apparently God gave them up. I have been at the deathbeds of people who previously had been deeply moved under the preaching of the gospel, yet died without any more thought of Christ or any more desire for Christ than the bed upon which they were lying had desire for Christ. God gave them up. Three times in Romans 1, God speaks of people who trifled. He says, God gave them up. I want to tell you, man or woman, when God gives you up, there's no hope. You could hear Paul preach and you would never be saved. You could hear Jesus Christ himself preach and you would never be saved. You could sit in the midst of revival with people being saved by the thousand all around you, and you would never be saved. If God gives you up, it's a dangerous, dangerous thing to trifle with the witness of the Spirit of God. You need a soul-transforming experience of Christ. Nothing else will do. We have read of miracle workers who perish in hell. People who had hair-raising spiritual experiences and they perished in hell. It's not such a thing that will save you. It is Christ who saves. You need Christ. The Holy Spirit woos you to Christ. The Bible points you to Christ. The church, the bride, cries, come to Christ. Parents, pastors, teachers, loved ones, unite in one common plea that you would come to Christ. That's the need. To trifle with that call is to court the fires of hell. Remember, there is great love in God. There is great patience in God. There is great forgiveness with the Lord. Come and take it, ere it's too late. Because when God withdraws that offer, it will never be renewed. May God enable every man and woman here to make very, very sure that he or she has Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. We do want every head bowed in prayer and every eye closed. In a moment the meeting will be over and you'll be free to leave. Will you leave a truster in Christ, or will you leave a trifler with the things of God? What will it be? Man or woman, young person, I implore you to come to Christ. Get on your knees before God and cry for mercy. Thank God there is mercy with the Lord. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If I can help you in the things of God, I am here your servant for Jesus' sake. Come, seek Christ today. Father in heaven, bless thy word, write it upon our hearts. Give fruit for the preaching of it. Lord, we pray that the solemn truth of the gospel of Christ and the warning word of this theme in Scripture may grip the hearts of men and women and young men and young women and boys and girls. And, O God, we pray that this very day thou wilt impart saving faith. Give the gift of gospel repentance. And, O Lord, we pray that this Sabbath day there will be a genuine turning unto Christ. Hear our prayer. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear, which is the beginning of knowledge and of wisdom. Be the portion of all thy people both this Lord's day and until our Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.